If you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of Judges, chapter 15 tonight. The book of Judges, chapter 15. We'll close this chapter out tonight. And then the following week, we'll finish out Samson and Delilah. And we'll go on to the next week with something else. And all God's people said, amen. The good thing about the Bible is we got plenty of material to go to. And I'm looking forward to tonight. The title of the message is, God Can Quench Your Thirst. God can quench your thirst. And you'll see this in one of the verses that we'll read here. And let's read this portion here, chapter 15. We're going to read verses 14 down to the end of the chapter. And when I'm done reading, we will have a word of prayer. It says, and when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loose from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and called that place Ramoth-Lehi. And he was sore athirst, and called on the Lord, and said, thou hast given this great deliverance in the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst, and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof, you can say it later on, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we're able to come here tonight. What a joy it was to be able to rehearse the blessings that you have allowed us to acknowledge tonight. And really, Lord, just to praise you in those things. God, tonight, as Christy mentioned, her friend that she babysits for, we know that she probably needs salvation tonight. And God, I pray that you would reach her heart. You reach her heart, you reach her children's heart, and the rest of her family. And we praise you for what's going to be done tonight, and we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Well, a few weeks ago, we left off with Samson's wife and father-in-law being killed. Let's back up here in verse number 6, says, then the Philistine said, who had done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companions, the companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. And so this is where we left off a few weeks ago with Samson, with his wife being killed, his father-in-law being killed. And then we see later on down in the story, as you get down close to the verse number 14, you see that Samson is being arrested by the men of Judah, and they were going to take Samson in, and let's put it in this terms, they were going to put him on trial, they were going to convict him of his crimes, and they were probably going to kill him at some point in time. And so that's where we left off. But what we must take away from this story at this point, I want you to take something away from this, and that is, Samson had become a product of poor choices in his life. And it also shows us that Samson is no different than you and I. And I try to illustrate that here last week. He's no different than you and I. We also dealt with the importance of choosing a spouse of the same faith. It's important to have that same quality there. Samson had sought women outside of his tribe. And we also don't see the feelings that you would normally see when a spouse is killed or passes away. We see something else take place in the life of Samson, and that is he seeks to take revenge upon the lives of the others that did this very thing. And he was acting out of anger. Has anybody ever done that before? Acted out of anger? Last week, it's been a fun week, has it not? It's been very fun. Last week, Sunday night, I go to bed, wanting to end the day as we normally do, long day, and sometimes you just want to put it behind us. And I did that. I did that very early last week. My schedule has not done that for me. Usually my bedtime in the past few weeks has been about 12, 12:30, sometimes 1 o'clock. And I'm up at the crack of dawn, too. I wake up as early as Gary does. He gets up early, too, and about 5:30, 6 o'clock in those areas. But I decided to turn in early last week, and I turned in about 10 o'clock. That's early for me. And the problem with me, when I go to bed at 10 o'clock, I get up even earlier. So it doesn't really do me any good. But anyway, I was worn out, and I go to bed, and I wake up with just a slight tap on my window. And I jumped up. I'm a light sleeper at times, and I jumped up and ran out the door, and I started hearing something. And what I was hearing, it sounded to me like somebody opened up a box of Rice Krispies and poured it in a bowl and poured the milk in there, and then you hear the snap, crackle, pop. That's what I thought I was hearing. Now, mind you, it's 5:30 in the morning, and I'm standing out there. I'm kind of delirious, and I'm looking around, and I saw something on the ground, and then all of a sudden, I looked at Chris's vehicle. Normally, it's in the garage. We left it out that night, and I looked at her back window, and it was gone. And I'm thinking to myself, a bird had a heavy dropping on my window. That's what was going through my mind. I'm delirious a little bit. Then it dawned upon me. Somebody broke her window. You know what I did? I was mad. And I acted out of anger. One, I was mad because somebody came upon my property and they tried to take advantage of us. And that got me angry. And I wanted to do something. I wanted to take matters into my own hands. Thankfully, God stopped me from doing those things, but we do things out of anger at times. And sometimes those things, we make poor choices when doing those things. So we see here this has taken place in the life of Samson. Verse number 14 shows us again, let's read, it says, "And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him." And look at this next phrase. It says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him." This phrase is used twice in the Word of God here, we're dealing with Samson. And it says, as it says this, it says that it mightily came upon this. And you can turn back to chapter number 14, you'll see the same phrase in verse number 6. It says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done." Now what took place was, Samson had come across a lion in his path. And he took matters into his hands. But we notice here that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And now the Spirit of the Lord is coming upon Samson once again. Samson's life is in danger. Was it not in danger when he came across the lion? Most definitely. The lion obviously would have had Samson for lunch or for dinner that night. But God intervened. The Holy Spirit came upon the life of Samson. Samson was able to do something very extraordinary that most men would not do. Now, I begin to chuckle this morning. You guys remember what Brother Becker was saying this morning as he first got up here? He felt that God was wanting him to go to Africa, and he's all excited. And I caught one phrase, and he said, "I can't wait to go to Africa so I can punch a lion in his face." And I'm thinking to myself, boy, this guy really wants to be like Samson. And he wants to wrestle alligators and things of those natures. And I thought it was kind of funny as I begin to think about this. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and Samson was able to get out of this situation. So with this being said, this shows me the severity of the situation here with Samson that he's in right now. Samson was up against some people who were going to do him harm. And Samson needed the intervention of the Holy Spirit upon his life. Just like the lion, with a given opportunity, would have devoured Samson like no other. And it would have been no match for the lion. So the word mightily is used to show us how powerful the Holy Spirit. Think about this. You hear and you talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, but I want to give you something to think about tonight. The Holy Spirit not only is powerful, but the Holy Spirit does some things for us. I'm going to give you some things that hopefully you can write down, and it'll be a help to you throughout this week. The Holy Spirit gives you peace. The Holy Spirit gives you peace. There are times when we are faced with some great difficulty in our lives. The passing of a loved one. Or some other things that might come along your way. But the Holy Spirit gives peace. Not only does the Holy Spirit give you peace, but we also see that the Holy Spirit gives you comfort. I'm so thankful tonight that I'm able to rely upon Him for comfort in my life. And He does those things for us. Not only does He give us peace, not only does He comfort us, but He guides us. You know, He guides your path every single day. You know, He guided you here tonight because He wanted you to be here, to hear the message, to sing praises to Him, to rehearse and have a blessing time, testimonial time. He guides you. And then He gives us the strength and He gives us the ability to overcome great obstacles in our life. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. No man or no woman can give you those things. No man or no woman can give you those things the way that the Holy Spirit does. Those are just some things I wanted you to see about the Holy Spirit. Notice something here, if we could, as we begin to pick up in verse number 14. It says, okay, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arm became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his hands loose from off his hands. Samson's arms were bound with cords. My question tonight is, why on earth didn't he just break them off the very moment that he was tied up? Has anybody else thought of that or asked yourself that question? With Samson having such a great strength that he had, why did he not break those immediately? Now, if I knew I was going to be tried, if I knew that my life was endangered, I would have been doing everything that I could to get out of that situation. But his arms were bound with cords. So he didn't break them immediately. But also another question is, why didn't he just take the very lives of them that had him in captivity? So we read the story of Samson here a few weeks ago. We saw what he did with the people that messed with his family. We saw that he had the ability and capability to do so. But he didn't take matters into his own hands at this time. I believe for this very reason, Samson's just like you and me, and we all need the Holy Spirit to work and to move in our lives, to do the work that no one else can do. It's also very interesting that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit moves in lives. He comes and He goes, leaves and He comes back. Who are we tonight without the Holy Spirit? It's a question I want you to ask, if you could. But who are you and who am I without the Spirit of God working in our lives? I have an answer for you, and it's very simple. I didn't have to get it from the Greek or Hebrew. Here is what it is. Who are we without the Holy Spirit? The answer is nothing. Do you realize tonight you are nothing without the Holy Spirit? I am nothing without the Holy Spirit. What does that tell you? What does that tell me? It tells me that we are in need of the Holy Spirit. Yes, Samson had great strength, but Samson, just like you and I, needed the Holy Spirit in his life to work and to move. We are nothing without Him. And the Holy Spirit worked mightily in his life and delivered him from the most difficult situations that a man could probably ever encounter. You know, we go through a lot of difficult situations in our life. And as we look back, do you know who delivers us from those things? It's not you or anybody else, but it is the power of the Holy Spirit working and moving in your life. Thank God for that. Now, with that being said, too often we only rely upon Him during trying times. You go to the hospital when someone's sick, the family's there. The normal reaction is, hey, we need to pray. We need to ask God to give us help. We need to ask God for healing. We need to ask God for deliverance from the situation. And we often we go back to Him during those difficult times. But have we forgotten He even wants to be used during the simplest times in our lives as well? So often we put God in a box. We put the Holy Spirit in a box. And we only allow Him to work in our lives when we're down. But God wants to work in your lives when you're not down as well. He wants to be used in every situation. The valley is the place where you and I have become more dependent upon the Holy Spirit. That's when we realize we need him the most. Because in the valley, we feel like the hilltops collapsing in on us. We feel like the enemy's looking over us and they're getting ready to devour and to prance on us. And in the valley, we look up to God and we cry out to God and we say, God, give us your Holy Spirit. We need his help. But here's what happens in those situations. Here is what we are really doing. Think about this. We are treating the Holy Spirit during those times when it's just in the valley. We don't think about him any other time. We don't think about him on the hilltop. We don't think about him on the way up. But in the valley, that's when we begin to focus on him. But here's what we're doing. We're treating him as if he's our own personal genie. We'll have him work at our very command. The God of the valley wants to be the God on the mountaintop as well. But so often we forget about God when we're on the mountaintop. We get up there and we say, hey, I made it. What a long ride. I can't believe I got here. I'm victorious. And we go about and we live our lives. But we forgot about the Holy Spirit that we called upon in the valley to get us to the mountaintop. God wants to be the God on the mountaintop as well. Think of this for a moment. This rang true in the life of Samson. When do we usually see the Spirit at work? It's when Samson's in great need. When a lion's coming his way. Or when a group of people are coming after him. Or as we read on in chapter number 16 next week, when Delilah's trying to get him to fess up where his great strength's at. We see this even true in the life of Samson. So it was always during Samson's time of need. But without the Holy Spirit being involved in his life, Samson probably would have been killed when he came upon the lion in Timnath. But the Holy Spirit worked in his life. The Holy Spirit delivered him from the most difficult situations that we can imagine. Verse number 15, let's read this. It says, and he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. So now we are in a very different situation, but we still have the same Holy Spirit that was helping him out in chapter number 14, verse number 6. The same Holy Spirit is helping him here. Again, he arrives upon the scene, and again, he delivers Samson from being killed. Think about this. You have 1,000 men that are just mentioned that are seeking to take the life of Samson. The Holy Spirit interjects himself here. And now we begin to again see the intelligence of Samson. Samson was a very smart man. By the way, where did he get his smarts from? It's from the Holy Spirit. That's where he got it from. So we see the intelligence of Samson, and now we see a jawbone of an ass was used for the slaying of 1,000 men. Think about this great obstacle. 1,000 men that he took their lives. By the way, think about this. As I'm talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, as I talk about the power of the Holy Spirit intervening and interjecting into people's lives, who do you think had a part in putting the carcass of the donkey in the place where Samson was going? Do you not see how powerful God is? God knew exactly where Samson was going to be that day. God knew exactly that 1,000 men were going to come upon him. God knew exactly 1,000 men wanted to take his life. And God provided a carcass of a donkey. Pretty amazing when you begin to think about this. The Holy Spirit has his hand upon him. He was also the one that gave Samson the smarts to use a jawbone to go to battle and to slay men left and right. I got to put a picture in your mind because that's what I like to do. Because sometimes we just read the Bible and we don't really think about things sometimes. Think about the jawbone. It's not very big. It's not very long. It's not very wide. Samson took that jawbone, and I imagine it was probably a rigged edge, had some sharpness to it, and he took that jawbone, and he began to go to battle with every single one of them that was there. And I'm not talking about battle from me to Ashley. I'm talking about battle from me to Jeff, from me to Charlie, face to face. That's what he was doing during that time. One by one, as he went up to every single man, I can almost guarantee you, Samson made eye contact with every single man as he began to take their very life. The Holy Spirit was moving and working on his behalf. He was literally face to face with his enemy. And yet, the Holy Spirit gave him victory. We too face the enemy face to face. And the same Holy Spirit that delivered Samson is the same Holy Spirit that can deliver you from the presence of your enemy. The Holy Spirit is very powerful. But here's what needs to take place. You need to give him permission to work in your life. He's standing there waiting. He doesn't move without you giving him permission. So often we find ourselves in the most difficult situations that a man or a woman could ever ask or even imagine. And you want to know why we're in those situations? Because we did not give the Holy Spirit permission to work in our lives beforehand. And we end up creating some of the most difficult situations. It's amazing when you begin to think about that. The same carcass that was used to deliver Samson victorious over the Philistine men is now being used in a very different way. Let's read the rest of this chapter here. As these men were slain, it says in verse number 16, and Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass when he made an end of speaking, and he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramathlea. Verse number 18, it says, and he was sore athirst. Look what he does. It says, and called on the Lord and said, thou hast given this great deliverance in the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? But God clave a hollow place that was in a jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. The same carcass that was used to deliver Samson victorious over the Philistines is now being used in a different way, and that is this: to deliver Samson from his death, from a lack of thirst, from a battle that he just finished. I don't know about you, but I've never been in that type of a battle, nor do I want to be in that type of a battle. I don't know the fatigue, the weariness that he faced, but I do know and can recount on many different occasions in my life the importance of water. Water is important to your life. The last couple years, I've done something different. I've changed the way I drink, and I don't partake in caffeine. I know most of you people that are on caffeine, you're wide awake right now, but the rest of you are probably falling asleep. But 2 years ago, I decided, you know what, I'm going to give up caffeine. I didn't like being shocked. I didn't like having heart surgery. So I decided, you know, I'm going to make some changes in my life, and this is the direction I'm going to go. And so for the last 2 years, I've done nothing but drink water. You know, I don't have a craving for anything else. It took me about 2 months to get everything else out of my system. But ever since then, you know what I crave? I crave water. And this is what Samson was craving at this point in time because he didn't want to lose his life. God gives him the water to replenish his strength, to give him life. An interesting picture has been developed, and that is the only one who can quench our thirst is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. He is the water of life. Though the earth has faced water shortages throughout history, but with the Holy Spirit, there will always be an abundant supply of water to quench the thirst for man. Here's the interesting thing about this. The only way an individual can experience in a water of life from Christ is this, and that is to accept him as your Lord and Savior. So many people are walking around this world thirsty as all get out. What they really need in their life is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit moving in their lives. So who are we without the Holy Spirit? Nothing. Nothing. We need him daily in our lives for many things. But if we want him to work, we need to seek to have a relationship with him on a daily basis. And don't fall into this category. Don't treat him as if he's your own personal genie. You know, I find myself wanting to do things more for people because of a relationship I have with them. Think about that for a minute. You want Jesus to work in your life, but where's your relationship at? Where's your relationship at with him?